all of the details, all of the data, all of the digits. Ben had a clause in his contract that he must be the highest paid player at the club. I want a new 4-year deal and I want to go on 120 grand a week. Apparently their bonus schedule, their bonus payments were almost impossible to achieve. Almost impossible. I swear on my life, this is what he said to me, you've got to beat them by 2 clear goals as well. The second a player has his head turned, you are screwed.
This is a big one that people want to know. Does your pay get cut?
So I had £1 million signing on fee for West Brom. But it gets broken down over the length of the contract.
So your basic wage at West Brom...
Oh, gosh, are we saying it? Am I saying it out loud?
So for staying in the Premier League with West Brom, Ben Foster got...
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Fozcast. We've got one of these episodes for you today, which I know you absolutely love. If you're watching us on Spotify, you might be able to see that there is a West Brom shirt behind me, and that is because we are going through my very first West Brom contract.
Forensically.
Forensically. All of the details, all of the data, all of the digits, all of the numbers. I know you want to know all the numbers. We're talking sort of salary, we're talking signing on fees, bonuses, we're talking contract length, all the other bits like, you know, nitty gritty, all that kind of stuff. So Tomasi, hit me with it.
Yeah,
let's go.
So this is the envelope that you gave me this morning. West Brom contract signed the 30th of June, 2012.
Oh, so this is what, nearly 13 years ago this was?
11 years ago.
Oh my God, I'm all over the shop. Yeah, 11 years ago. 11 years ago, sorry.
Well, this just a couple of things to note. This is your first West Brom contract.
This is my first West Brom contract. So this is the one that I signed when I left Birmingham City.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we were in a coffee shop the other day. I was, sorry. And somebody said to me that they had it on good authority that Ben had a clause in his contract that he must be the highest paid player at the club.
At West Brom?
Yeah.
For West Brom?
Yeah.
Lies. Absolute lies.
So that good authority.
Mate, this, like, the football world, all the fans out there think they know little bits of nuggets here and there, and you'll go, well, I heard this and I heard that. And honestly, 95% of it is absolute rubbish. I guarantee you, absolute rubbish. All these, you know, you see him, like, you'll read him always in the back of the Sun or something like that. Apparently, he's got this mad contract where he has this written into it and that written into it. No chance on this earth. Most contracts, and I mean this, 99% of all contracts are always exactly the same. You'll get your basic wage. If you're a goalie, you might have a clean sheet bonus. A striker, you might have a goal scoring bonus. Other than that, it's absolutely standard. So in this contract, I've bought all of the pieces in. It's the contract. You've got the bonus schedule. You've got all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting to say that this is actually a very different contract to the Man United contract.
Yes.
Because the Man United contract episode we did, if you haven't listened to that, go and give it a listen. It's a belter. Obviously, Manchester United, they are at the top of the pyramid. They're the big boys. They're the ones in Champions League, all that. And when you're signing a contract for somebody like a West Brom, they don't load it for winning things. They don't incentivize you for winning things.
Winning the Champions League?
No, because it's not going to happen. You're not even going to win the Premier League. It's not the way that it works for a team like West Brom. So they have to incentivize it in a different way. They have to load it so that basically you avoid relegation.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how this contract reads, really, isn't it?
Mate, absolutely. So I've spent some time this morning looking through that, and I looked through the Man United one, and that was the first thing I said to you.
Yeah.
And it's not a case of, like, ambition or anything like that. It's just realism. And you look at it and go, one's loaded for European football and winning Premier League titles, and the other one is survival. Consolidation and survival.
Interestingly, the Man United one, so obviously when we were at Man United, you were getting paid an awful lot of bonuses for finishing, like, wherever you'd finish in the Premier League. If you finished fifth or fourth or third, you'd still get a really good bonus schedule, a bonus payment. If you got to the quarterfinal of the Champions League, you'd get a really good bonus payment. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 years after I left Manchester United that they completely changed the bonus schedule for literally just winning things.
What, at United?
At United. So finishing second in the Premier League, no bonus payment because wages were so high and players were getting paid 150 grand a week that they said, no, we're not willing to do this anymore. We're not willing to pay you for finishing second in the league or getting knocked out in the quarterfinal in the Champions League or the quarterfinal.
How do you know that? So you left the clubs. How do you know that those changes take place?
Because I was still in the England team at that time. So I would still be with the lads and I would still be with all the physios, masseurs, all that kind of stuff. And it was always, that was just like the, it wasn't the big talk, but it was the talk of, yeah, it's all changed now. Basically, yeah, we if you finish second in the Premier League, you ain't getting a bonus payment. You ain't getting rewarded for, basically, in United's eyes, failing.
Well, it was back then, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Let's
that.
Be honest.
Exactly.
Like, I think now it's Champions League, win a trophy, looking to build and work their way up to what? Challenging next season?
Well, listen to this. This is a funny one as well. One of the lads, Danny Rose it was actually. Danny Rose, obviously used to be at Tottenham. Daniel Levy is sort of so famously known for being tight and being an absolute businessman, brutal, ruthless businessman. Apparently their bonus schedule, their bonus payments were almost impossible to achieve. Almost impossible. To actually get paid a bonus, you would only get it for beating one of the big boys, one of the top six teams. So you're talking to Man City, Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool. And you'd and apparently, I swear on my life, this is what he said to me, you'd have to beat them by two clear goals as well.
So if Spurs beat Man United 1-0 at Old Trafford,
it's not enough, mate. You ain't getting that bonus. Winning games is that's what they expect you to win games as Tottenham manager, Tottenham apparently. But to get the bonus, you have to obliterate your opponent. You have to beat Man City 2-0, 3-0 to get that bonus payment, which is bonkers. And I'm saying, Rosie, like, no chance. You can't. That's impossible. And he was like, oh, no. Fozzie, oh, no. Like, he said, well, there was one time we were winning 2-0 or something like that. Scored a last-minute goal. And everyone was just, like, looking at each other going, oh, come on, lads. What the? We're missing out on the bonus.
And they've still won the big game.
And they've still won the big game.
That's mental.
Bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think there's a lot of topical chat at the moment with Spurs. And I heard something on the radio and a comment, I think one of the pundits said, was like, who... Remember who they are, yeah? Like, they, I think some, he was intimating that a lot of Tottenham fans think they should be challenging it. It's like, no, you're Tottenham. You don't win things, which you look at it and go, well, they don't,
well,
do they?
Yeah, I think historically, for sure. Well, not historically, in their recent history, in the last sort of 15, 20 years, sure. But I think I think the problem is Tottenham have got to a stage where they have got everything else covered off now. The training ground is world-class, the stadium. Yeah. They've got the infrastructure now. So Tottenham fans are going, well, hold on a minute. There's nothing else we can improve on other than results on the pitch.
They've had the managers as well.
As well,
They've had, what have they had in recent years? Pochettino.
Mourinho.
Conte.
They've had some big boys,
so
yeah.
What's the missing link here?
Well, it's not the missing link. It's the common theme is the word, isn't it?
Yeah.
The common theme is, this is what everybody's saying, and this is probably why Antonio Conte went off on one the other day, is about the ownership model and the way that it's run. And it's almost, we run it as a business and we make money year on year, so let's just keep going the way we're going instead of going, no, we want to win things. We want to be ruthless. We want to set an ethos within this football club that we win things, and it's as simple as that. That's what Tottenham fans aren't happy about, and that's what Antonio Conte is not happy about.
There we go.
With.
Little tangent, but we like tangents.
There we go. We like tangents.
Right, so let's start off. I just want to talk to you about contracts. So how quickly can a contract be proposed to you and signed? Because there's kind of two contracts, isn't there? There's the contract with the league, so like the Premier League, for example. So when you get an offer come through, it'll be the contract from the Premier League, which is basically mitigates, I guess, all the lawyer stuff, because it's a standard contract between club, player and Premier League.
Yeah.
So you know that that's watertight.
It's good to go, yeah.
Watertight.
It's a proper contract.
So and that's one that I'm holding in my hand here. It's like a Premier League contract schedule.
Yeah, sure.
Then there becomes one which is, it's West Brom specific, which is like your terms with them.
My personal terms.
Yes. So that's what we're talking about today, right?
Yeah, sure. And we'll talk about the bonus like payments as well. The bonus payments normally are very, they're the whole team bonus payments. So I think West Brom worked on a scheme of money per point, didn't they? So
they
in
did.
The Premier League, you would get, if you got a draw on a Saturday, for example, that would be worth X amount of £1,000. And we'll talk about exactly what it is in a second.
Yeah, okay. So how quickly have you had an offer to sign him?
That it can happen in days. It can genuinely happen in days. It normally goes on a bit longer because it's always a bit of it's like a bit of a game, isn't it? You know what I mean? Nobody wants to show their hand first. Everybody wants to play it like cool, really. And no, I'm not too fussed. And, you know, we'll just see what it is. But never is that the case, I promise you. So when a player gets offered a new contract, it's normally a case of that player will end up going into, I don't know, like a chief exec or something like that. They'll call him into the office and they'll sit you down. They'll go, listen, you're doing really well. We're really happy with what you're doing. We want to offer you a new contract. You go, yeah, brilliant. You know, my agent, this is his name. This is his number. Talk to him. Perfect.
All right. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. And he'll go, yeah, brilliant. But you're happy to stay. You know, you're happy to be at the club. You want to sign a new contract. And they're like, yeah, I love it here. I'm having a great time.
Have you never considered doing that yourself then? And going,
no.
So I remember you saying to me that G-Nav used to do his own.
Yeah.
Like with his dad and whatnot. Have you ever not just thought, do you know what? It's an easy one for me.
No, not at all. I'd say probably now, later on in my life, I would have been more comfortable doing it. But no, not when I was younger, sort of that was one of the last things I wanted to do. I never wanted to sit in a room and say, I want this amount, and they'll say, nope, you're not worth it. And I'll go, why? What do you mean I'm not worth
it? I am.
Yeah. So no, I was always happy to leave it to my agent to do, which yeah, I get what you're saying, because I can't imagine it's the hardest thing to negotiate in the world.
And do you have the conversation? Obviously, you have the conversation with your agent, but at what level? Do you say, hey, Bobby, I want 100 grand a week. That's it. Will not budge. Do not speak to me until you get to that number.
That's exactly how it can go. It can go a million ways from that as well. It can go absolutely anywhere. So normally what would happen with me, for example, is I would then go straight out to get my phone. I'd ring my agent. I'd say, oh, mate, just spoke to the chief exec. They want to offer me a new contract. They're going to be in touch. Okay. From that point on, that the chief exec will get in touch with the agent and they will basically start sort of thrashing it out. But in the meantime, I've already spoke to my agent about what I want. So okay. Obviously, depending on what stage you are in your career, say you're 25 years old, 26 year old, you've got ambitions to be at a bigger club. You know, you might go, you know, I might think about this, to be honest with you. You know, is it going to be worth it? Apparently, I've only got a year and a half left on my contract. I can run it down a little bit if I give it another 6 months. This is always the risk of it, though. If you're a mid-20s player and you're absolutely smashing it in the Premier League for a mid-table team, you're one of the best players in your position in the league almost, then you've got some serious bargaining chips. You've got a lot of power. You hold all the power, basically, because once you go down to a year, yeah, the club starts to, I mean, genuinely panic. Even a year and a half, clubs are panicking. Two years normally.
And now that's because of resale value, right?
Yeah, the resale value.
Look at Harry Kane.
Yeah.
So this is, Arsenal have been, is it fair to say Arsenal have been a little bit, would you say, slack in the past over it?
Yeah, they have. They've been famous for it, in fact. They've been famous for getting down to a year and a half, a year, and the player just either walking or they're going to have to sell him for absolute peanuts.
So at what point, if you're on a three-year deal, four-year deal, at what point, if you're doing a good job,
yeah,
at what point does the conversation crop up of, is it 2 years out? Is it a year out?
It's fully dependent on how you're doing. Like I say, if you're doing really well and you've still got 3 years left on your deal and there's rumours in the paper of clubs coming in for you and paying you stupid amounts of money and trying to sign you for 100 million or whatever, this is the point where a player can even then go to a club and say, listen, I'm getting linked with Man United, I'm getting linked with Man City, and I know I can get 150 grand a week if I'm then, but I'm sitting here playing for you for 40 grand a week,
yeah?
I want a new four-year deal, and I want to go on 120 grand a week, yeah?
And that can happen.
Oh, for sure it'll happen.
So let's look at an example at the moment. So it also works, rather than running down a contract, you might be at the start of a contract.
Yeah.
So let's look at Mitoma at Brighton, right?
Okay.
So he comes in,
yeah.
Unknown, fair to say,
yeah.
And he tears it up.
Exactly.
From day one. It's in the club's best interest to get on top of that early and
yes.
Go, and do you know what? We've signed him on a four-year deal, yeah. So he can sit here for 4 years, yeah. And pay him, I don't know, 12 grand a week maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that. Or we get on top of it and look after him. What's your view on that?
This is the bit here where you have to take the human element into it. So I think a lot of people get carried away with the fact that they play champ man and they see a player on a four-year deal and they think, you've got 4 years left, no chance, mate, yeah? I can wait till it gets down to 18 months or even a year and then I can offer him a new contract, right? That's not how life works, yeah? So if that player's smashing it, but he's only earning, say Mitoma, for example, I'd wager a bet that he's probably on about 30 grand a week, 40 grand a week, maybe.
When he signed.
When he signed. He's not signing for massive money. He's not signing
for
big bucks.
I wouldn't thought it'd be that much.
Maximum, yeah? Maximum. Say he's on 30 grand a week,
all
right?
And this is all in football terms, by the way.
Yeah, in relation. In relation to the real world, this is just crazy money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of
but
course.
But in football terms, Mitoma, his market value is ridiculous right now. Yeah. You imagine if somebody's going to try and sign Mitoma, they're going to have to pay the best part of 50 mil, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
50 north, mil for Mitoma?
50 mil,
yeah.
Yeah.
So if he's sitting there on 30 grand a week and he knows he's worth this money and he knows there's this team and this team and this team that are interested in trying to sign him, I think Brighton are that well equipped and they run it so well that they won't even wait for the player to come to them. Yeah. I think they'll go to him and say, mate, you are smashing it. We love you to bits. This relationship works, yeah? You work for us. We work for you. You know what I mean? Should we just carry this on? We'll look after you. We'll give you a new four-year deal, yeah? Starting from now. And we'll double, treble your wages, right? We'll look after you. That way, the player then goes, I really like that. I really appreciate that.
Makes you feel valued.
It makes you feel so valued. I really appreciate that. Cool, let's do it. So then that then takes that sort of, that doubt out of Matoma's head. Of thinking about other teams and what the future might lie. So he's on a real good wage. He's got a new four-year deal. He can just focus on playing
football. So let me play devil's advocate here. So let's say this hypothetical scenario plays out and he signs a new five-year deal, 60 bags a week.
Yeah.
Right? End of the season, he is killing it. Arsenal come in for 70 million and Brighton go, no, we're not signing him.
Yeah.
We've seen it time and time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The player kicks off, yeah. Right? Which side of the fence do you sit on? Because I would go, tough shit, mate. You signed the five-year deal because you wanted that extra money.
I get this. I completely get this. This is where, again, you have to take the human element into it. The second a player has his head turned, you are screwed. You're screwed, yeah?
Yeah.
So either that's a £70 million asset.
Yeah.
Yeah? We're not talking chump change yet. That's 70 million quid, right? So you can either cut your nose off to spite your face and go, you're staying, his performances dip, his market value dips, the word gets out he's a bit of a bad egg when things don't go his way. It's not good for anybody.
It rarely ends up in a positive. Well, that did, we're led to believe, is Harry Kane.
Yeah.
So last season, wasn't it?
Well, Harry Kane, not really. It didn't turn out well, did it? It just kind of carried on the same. Harry Kane's always smashed it.
Yeah, but he had his head turned.
He definitely had his head turned.
He handed in
a transfer request. But Harry Kane is, again, it comes down to the individual. Harry Kane is, you can tell, very professional.
Yeah,
he's
of
an
course.
Utmost professional. So even if he's had his head turned, yeah, he will still just do the same job. There are players, though, like I say, if you are on a, I don't know, you just signed this brand new contract, but the lure of playing for a Man City or a Chelsea or an Arsenal comes in, that's a big thing.
Have you seen it in clubs?
Yeah, I've seen it in clubs. I've seen it. Remember the Saido Berahino incident from years ago when I was at West Brom when Tottenham were getting linked with him for, you're talking best part of 20 million quid. And West Brom at the time were a bit like Daniel Levy at Tottenham where they were so tight. They were so, like, they were known for being world-class negotiators and like milking the very last drop of money out of other football teams. And Tottenham came in with this offer, which it wasn't all front-loaded cash, basically. It was in instalments and it was on performance. And West Brom said, no, if you want him, you pay the money for him. You pay that exact money. We take that money, all of it, and you can have the player. That is the bit that made Saido's head just go pop.
Yeah.
Gone. They'd lost the player.
Did he get
at that
a new
point.
Contract?
I don't think so.
He wasn't hot enough for
he down-tools long enough,
was he?
Not, I wouldn't say down tools, but his head was gone. So he was no longer the player he was. The relationship he had with West Brom was burnt. That bridge was gone, long gone. It was a no-win for everyone at this point. This is what I'm saying, where it sounds bad and it sounds like you're giving in to the player, but the second they've had their head turned, very, very rarely does it end well.
Yeah, I think because as well, we hear circumstances of managers and clubs just having a common sense approach where I think Ronaldo famously with Ferguson, wasn't it? It was like, he's going to go to Real Madrid. And I believe the conversation went something like, give us 1 year.
Yeah,
just give us one more year.
Boom.
And then you can go.
And then you can go.
And I think that works well, doesn't it?
We'll get 70, 80 mil for you. Everybody's a winner. At that time, it's a world record fee. It's everything. So that's what I mean, though. That's where you have to sort of forget the ego a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody does. I mean, everybody across the board, from the chief execs, the club, the chairman, the player, that you have to almost take the emotion out of it and have to go, right, let's try and sort it with a player if you can. And if you don't, then we're going to just have to sell the player. And I think Brighton have been really good at doing that. I do. Brighton, for example, they're very good at doing this. They've sold so many players along the years where they've gone, right, I'll tell you what, if we get a 30, 40 million pound offer for you, we'll probably sell you.
The impressive thing about Brighton is it's always on their terms.
Yeah.
Same as Spurs, to be fair.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like him or loathe him, it's always that way. It's on their terms.
Yeah.
And it's like when they, this season, Brighton, we keep using them as an example, but the model's just so good. And it's called succession planning, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly so, that. They've so always got something in
their chief scout
the
goes, they know who the next one is. Their manager goes and they go. So even now, De Zerbi's not long been in situ. He goes, they know, they've got a shortlist.
They know who it is.
And you always think with other clubs, that isn't the case.
You can see that it isn't the case. Yeah.
It's an incredibly, incredibly well-run football club. But look at the striker situation there. Like, they got rid of Mopay, didn't they?
Yeah.
Who hasn't torn up trees.
Nope.
And then this young lad, Evan Ferguson. And you kind of go, it's another one.
He looks a real deal. And I know we're going on tangents again here, but he looks a real deal, by the way. I watched him in the FA Cup the other day. He's a man. He is a big, fully grown man. He's got a massive head on him as well.
Big head.
Big head.
Yeah.
Blockhead. And he does. He looks a real deal, mate. He looks like he's going to be an absolute player.
And that's no coincidence.
No.
They've let Mopay go because they know what's coming in the academy.
It means they can get money for him, get him off the wage bill, because I guarantee you would have been a higher earner. They bring a kid through that's not earning the big money, hungry, knows he can do a job anyway. Everybody's a winner. It aids in his development. Yeah. Right, come on, let's get back to contract anyway.
Right.
Stop tangenting. I want to talk details, all right?
That was a good tangent, mate. Right, the first one I want to look at is this section within your contract, which reads, retention of status bonus.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Basically, don't get relegated.
Yeah,
any bonus that is payable in this contract, any bonus is null and void if you get relegated. Yeah.
Yes.
And the bonus schedule for West Brom individually was incredible. They were fantastic.
Good.
Yeah. Wages were decent at West Brom. They weren't groundbreaking, they never would ever break the ceiling to give you a high wage, but they would give you seriously good bonuses.
Performance-based
bonuses.
Yes.
To keep you hungry, to keep you wanting and fighting for every single point and every single game. So even when you get to middle of April, middle of March, and you might have 45, 50 points and you're safe, they still want you to keep fighting and try and finish as high up as you possibly can, because the higher you finish in the league, it goes on positions.
Yep.
The club get more money from the Premier League per position. So they want you to finish as high as possible.
I think a lot of people listening might go, listen, they're paid a fortune. They should be giving it their all every week. Yes, they should.
They should, yeah.
But in the real world, it works in a similar way to what your normal job works. If you can get the job done.
Oh, performance-related
bonuses. But if you get the job done and you go, oh, I've got a pretty steady end of the week now, I'll just take it easy for the rest of the week. It's exactly the same.
Exactly.
Unless
that.
If you've got a little bonus scheme,
keeps
pushing
you
along.
Keeps you pushing.
Then, well, let's talk about that then.
So basically, as long as you didn't get relegated, you would hit these bonuses.
So for staying in the Premier League with West Brom, Ben Foster got $4,000 a point.
£4,000 a point. So, historically, staying in the Premier League means 40 points, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So if you, do quick maths, 4, 8, 12, 16, that's 160 grand, yeah? So say we got 40 points and you play, so you need to play in them games as well, yeah?
Yeah, so you have to play in those games.
So if I've
you
played
have to play,
in...
Sorry, mate, you have to play 70 minutes of that match.
Yeah, you have to start the, well, you have to play 70 minutes, yeah. So as long as I play every game that season and we get 40 points, I know that is 160 grand as long as we don't get relegated.
Yes. Now, if you play less than 70 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you come on in the 75th minute, you get half.
Yeah, so that's £2,000 a point. Boom.
If you are an unused sub or you come on in 90 plus minutes, you still get a grand. You get 25%.
Nice, mate, this is why, I remember winning these games with West Brom, right? And you would come off the pitch and you would be laughing and thinking, oh my God, buzz him, 12 grand as well, that was. 12 grand. Get me wrong, the overall riding thought is we've just won a game, we are buzzing. Because for West Brom, every game was a battle. It don't matter who you were playing, it's a tough battle. Premier League is, full stop. But every game for West Brom was a battle, right? And coming off the pitch, having 3 points was just like, get in there, you little beauty.
Especially for the lads on the bench. bench as well. It might be a youth player coming up.
Massive.
Do you know what? It might be Boaz. Yep. Boaz, who was your number two.
Yeah.
Like, Boaz knew he was your number two.
Yeah.
You two had a fabulous working relationship. You still got a great relationship now. But as a number two, if these incentives weren't put in place, there might be a little bit of nip, a little bit of resentment. A little bit of resentment, yeah. But if Boaz comes up, you come off the pitch, the two of you together, you win 1-0 and you go, you've been paid, he's been paid.
Everyone's
because actually,
a winner.
Boaz does his job massively important job.
Really important.
Throughout the week.
Yep.
And keeping you focused. And like, he was very important. But tell us how important he was to you.
He was so important, mate. So influential. It's so, as a goalie, you need to know that your second choice goalie and your third choice goalie, really, they've got your back. You need to know that they've got your back and they're fighting your corner. And Boaz was that guy. If you could not build a better second choice goalie than Boaz, genuinely. Mm. If I made a good save on a Saturday afternoon, sometimes I would catch him out the corner of my eye, being on the bench, jumping up and down like we'd scored a goal.
That's brilliant.
Genuinely, I could see him and he would be jumping up and down. And there were times when I'd get in at full time or half time, and if I'd had a good half or a good game or something, like the masseur was like, oh, you should have seen Bo on the bench. Oh my God, he was just jumping around like a dickhead, and he was screaming and he was buzzing and he was so happy for you.
Was he the best number two you had?
Without doubt. Yeah. Without doubt, he was incredible.
I get the impression that Aurelio Gomez at Watford was a very good two as well.
Mate, actually, do you know what? They're one and the same. They are genuinely one and the same. They are like, I've absolutely killed Aurelio there because Aurelio is exactly the same. Like, if I could build a perfect number two, it's Aurelio or Boaz.
It'd be a Brazilian Welshman.
Oh, my God.
A Brazilian from the valleys with a beard.
Yeah. A Brazilian with hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but Aurelio is exactly the same. I know he's got my back. I know he's got my corner. In training in the week, if I was tired and I didn't want to do any shooting, Ben, go in. I'll do the shooting.
Do staff have these bonuses as well?
Yes, they do.
Like physios?
Yeah, they're obviously very different to this, completely different to this. It's all very relative to them. But again, it will be a relegation sort of, if as long as you don't get relegated, they'll get paid a bonus.
Should I tell you what, the other thing that really, really kind of jumped off the page at me is it's clearly all about survival and consolidation. The cup bonuses, like,
they're not massive. They're not massive. They've never been massive.
Like with West Brom, are they a distraction?
Yeah, a little bit. Genuinely, they are, yeah.
Because it rarely happens that Blues win the League Cup or Wigan win the FA Cup. It's a rarity.
It's a very, very, very rare occurrence that something like that will happen. It does happen, but they are... Basically, the Premier League is teams like West Brom's bread and butter. That is their be-all and end-all. The consolidating and staying in the Premier League is what makes that business run and grow and keep going the way it's going. The FA Cup runs, the League Cup runs, for the fans, are the important bits. They're the bits that really mean something for the fans. Because I know, having played for Birmingham in a cup final and winning it, how much that means to Birmingham fans. This cup final was 12 years ago, right? And I still get people coming up saying that was the best day of my life. Thank you so much. It was the best day of my life. Best day of my life. People will buy me pints. We were on the train. We went into first class the other day because the train attendant was a Blues fan. He was like, you ain't paying, lads.
Your money's no good here.
Let's us in. And that,
I said, cheers, mate.
That is exactly what it does, though. That is, it's like, as a football fan, to see your club win a major trophy at Wembley is the pinnacle.
Like, I'm not even a Blues fan, right? And I'm not a Wrexham fan. But those two, and Watford with that, but those cup final ones,
special.
Like, you go, the best moment in your football fan life, it's a cup final.
Yeah.
It's a playoff final.
Boom.
Which is, I always think that's like the, right, I'm a Wolves fan, right? And I always think it's such a tricky balance between the Premier League and the Championship.
Yeah.
Because the Premier League, you go to all the big stadiums, you see the best players in the world and stuff. But you're getting beat most weeks, right?
Yeah.
And getting relegated from the Prem, it's heartbreaking. I've been there. But then when you go back into the Championship, you start winning.
And good buzz about the place.
It feels great.
Yeah.
And then you get a run together and you win more often than not.
Heck yeah.
And then, like we've said before, if you could bottle that playoff final route,
it's the best feeling in the world. When
you went up with Watford in 05, 06, was it?
Best feeling in the world,
What a day.
Yeah, what a day. Honestly, it's incredible.
So cup bonuses, tangent. Cup bonuses. I was really surprised. So do you remember what your, if you won the FA Cup final at West Brom,
I'm going to go 50 grand.
25 grand.
Per person.
25 grand a person,
Yeah, 25. So that's what I'm saying. So it's the equivalent of basically winning two Premier League games back to back.
That's mad, isn't it?
That's how much emphasis clubs like West Brom will put on the Premier League. It's the equivalent of winning two games back-to-back in the Premier League is winning the FA Cup.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And then League Cup final.
Oh, I'll be peeing at 15 grand.
£7,500.
That's what I mean. I'd say winning the cup is nothing to do with money. So any of the players would not even be thinking about the money. It's when you get to that semi-final stage, and genuinely that is the stage that you think about it. Quarterfinals, you're kind of still sort of, you know, eight teams away. But when you get to semi-final stage, it's like, oh, we could have a genuine day out at Wembley. Yeah. Do you know, remember when we was at Watford and we beat Wolves in that semi-final? That winning that game was just, oh, and the change rooms afterwards, it's like, oh my God, we are actually going to go to Wembley and play in the cup final. And then we realised we were playing Man City and thought, oh shit.
Here's one for you then. Would you rather, so let's say when you're in your Blues days, so we should do another one of these contracts with Blues actually. Yeah. So in your Blues days, would you have rather received £500,000 for League Cup runner-ups?
Yeah.
Or win the cup and get nothing?
I'd rather win it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just checking your integrity.
Oh, no. Still the best day of my life, honestly. Best day of my footballing career. Well, I've got two, but obviously your England debut has to be up there. But the best moment of my football career was that full-time whistle going at Wembley for Birmingham City against Arsenal when we beat them. Honestly, that full-time whistle feeling. Wow. I get goosebumps right now. It's like the horniest feeling, lads. I promise you.
What?
It is. It's like, it does. It makes me want to grip my teeth and just go, wow. It was just the best. And I only because...
the horniest.
Nah, you know what I mean though, yeah. But it's that feeling of like when the whistle went, right? And you look at those Blues fans just going absolutely bonkers, mate.
Bonkers.
Flags everywhere and just absolute... Just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And that's what it was.
We talk about it like...
Oh, I still talk about it.
We went at the club the other day, didn't we, to watch the racing and stuff. And it's still talked about.
I still talked about it, mate.
It's not even... For like the fan, like with your mates and stuff like that, it's not really about that. It's about the day out.
The day out, yeah.
Oh, the day out's legendary. That's what I mean.
You have a different experience, but it's still just as legendary.
I would say it's better than
probably, yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about So if you get relegated with West Brom... This is a big one that people want to know. Does your pay get cut?
Yes.
It does.
Yes, it does. And quite heavily as well.
It does, yeah. So you...
Again, for these kind of teams, so for a Watford, a West Brom, those sort of teams that is a possibility you could get relegated, you will always have a relegation wage cut. And it will be a percentage.
So your basic wage at West Brom.
Oh gosh, are we saying it? Am I saying it out loud?
In your first contract.
In my first contract in 2012 at West Brom.
Was?
I think it was £40,000 a week.
Damn.
Was it 40,000?
Yeah, it was.
It was £40,000 a week. So
that was your first one. So obviously the second one.
Well, we might do another episode on that. But that was my first contract. So how long was the duration of this contract, by the way? A four-year deal, was it? I think it was a four-year deal. I think it was a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it was. However, if you get relegated, say in that first season, I'm earning £40,000 a week and then we go and get relegated.
Yep.
Yeah. You're not getting, obviously no bonus are payable whatsoever. You're not getting anything. I had a clause in my contract because I was one of the higher earners. I was definitely not the top earner, but I was one of the higher earners and my wages went down to £25,000 if we got relegated.
Yes.
So I would have been in the Championship with West Brom, with 3 years left on my deal, on £25,000 a week. If we had got promoted again the very next season, they would have gone up the next season back up to 40.
Yeah, and you'd have got a bonus for getting back into the Prem, which is a bonus of 10 grand and a bonus of 10 grand for every game played above 24 games. But it was capped. So if you played the whole season and they got promoted, it was 150 grand.
Oh, well, that's lovely, to be fair. Like, say, when you're in the Championship, I wouldn't expect to get too many bonuses in the Championship. I wouldn't, because that's, don't get me wrong, it's obviously a very lucrative league, but it's not Premier League money.
No, it really isn't.
And I know there's parachute payments, all that kind of stuff, but I wouldn't really expect to get any sort of heavy bonuses for getting promoted again.
Okay. And then loyalty bonus.
So loyalty bonus is kind of like... So let me explain how loyalty bonuses work, right? So a loyalty bonus, if I sign a 4-year contract, right? The loyalty bonus is to, they'll pay at you once a transfer window has closed, the following season. So when I first sign, I will get the first loyalty payment, right? Which was how much per year?
250 bags.
Wow.
250 grand.
Buzzing with that, by the way.
Yeah, so that was like September after you signed.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So September. So the transfer window has closed at this point.
Yeah,
okay?
Now just quickly, when we say loyalty bonus, this is what the kind of average fan would know as a signing on fee.
A signing on fee, exactly.
So when
that.
You hear £3 million signing on fee for yeah. a four-year deal,
yeah.
they don't get 3 million quid.
No chance. That will get... So I had £1 million signing on fee for West Brom. But it gets broken down over the length of the contract, yeah? So you get it each year that you're there. So I was there for 4 years. I would get four instalments of £250,000 if I'm still at the club in the Premier League, yeah, come September, right? So once the transfer window has closed, boom, then you're entitled to your payment because you're still at the club. So yeah, as soon as I signed for West Brom, they paid it in the September, which was a few months after I'd signed. And then that's it, boom. Then obviously I stayed there. The very next season you would get it at the same time because we're still in the Premier League. It's important to say that throughout the duration of my contracts at West Brom, we were always in the Premier League. We stayed in the Premier League all the way through. I had some of the best years of my career at this football club, by the way.
Like, you did.
I absolutely loved playing for West Brom. They are the team probably that's closest to my heart. Obviously, you know, my kids are West Brom fans. I'll always watch out for them. I'll go and watch them sometimes.
You were 8 years, were you?
7 or 8 years.
Seven or eight years.
They've got a real, like, West Brom will probably be the team that I will look out for and support more than anyone.
Right, so Fozzie, we've talked about the kind of survival bonus. Yep. So if you stay up £4,000 a point, there's also a appearance fee on top of that.
Yes.
So like you said, like they're not like Man United wages, but you were heavily incentivized on points. So
not only heavily incentivized on points, it was also playing.
Yes.
So teams like West Brom and Watford, etc., who might not be able to pay the big bucks, what they can do is pay you a bonus that they can pay at the end of the season as long as you're in the Premier League. Because as long as you're in the Premier League, the team get all the money. The team get the Premier League money. Yeah. So they're cash rich again. They can pay bonuses. Yeah. So they're happy to pay players who have performed and who have played. So if you've, as a goalie, if you've played 38 games that season, which I did quite a few times.
And you stayed up.
Yeah, quite a few times for West Brom.
Cha-ching.
Well, but even if you don't stay up, if you play 38 games as a goalkeeper, you have to be doing all right.
Absolutely.
Because you have to have a level of consistency that says you've played well enough each week to retain your place. Yeah? So, like I say, most of the time I would have played 38 games that season, but you have an appearance fee as well. And my appearance fee in this was...
You tell me.
I can't even remember.
Guess.
Four. I'll go for four again.
£6,000
per appearance.
£6,000 appearance. So just to put this into perspective, when you talk about players on £200,000 a week, it's not always a base salary, is it?
Not
always.
Most of the time, people talk about their base salary. Most of the time. So in the paper, if you read somebody is on £70,000 a week, normally that's what it means. Okay. They are on £70,000 a week. But again, though, if you're talking about these big teams, Man City, for example, they're paying heavy bonuses if they win stuff, yeah?
Yeah,
heavy
sure.
bonuses. Like, you're talking another few million quid per player if they win stuff.
That's mad, isn't it? So let's look at it. Let's look at we're coming up to Easter at the moment.
Yeah.
So let's say, roll back the clocks, 10 years, you're at West Brom. You play two games in a week, Premier League games in a week. You win one, you lose one.
Yeah.
So you got £40,000 a week, plus you've got two appearance fees.
At £12,000.
So that's £12,000.
Yeah.
Plus you've got...
£12,000 for winning one game. Yeah. So that's 24. 64 bags I'd have earned that week. Buzzing. Yeah, that's how it works.
Wow.
Obviously, you know, as a player, you don't even look at it like that. You don't even think about it like that. It's just, you take each game as it comes. And genuinely, for me, bonuses were always just like, yeah, they were exactly that. They were a bonus. They were brilliant, but it's not ever something I would take fully into account so much. I would obviously think about it at the end of the season when we've done well and we've stayed up and we've performed and I've performed. And then I'd think, oh, nice. Like, I need to know ballpark at least, so know what to do with it, sort of thing.
Who kind of tracks this? Do you have a little spreadsheet or something that you...
No, this is where your accountants come into play. So I have my accountant, my financial advisors, who will have literally done a spreadsheet. They will have all the games that I've played, all the minutes, and they will have my contract. They will have a copy of my contract. So they will have gone through that with a fine tooth comb, and they will know exactly what I am due, because they need to know for tax reasons as well. So they need to know that when the club pay me, they need to know that my tax code is correct.
Sure.
They need to know that I've been paid the right amount. paramount, because if West Brom, for example, underpay me or overpay me, they have to submit them figures to the Inland Revenue. And if they submit the wrong figures and it doesn't tally up with our figures, this is where you can open yourself up to an...
You're getting whacked by the tax man.
You get a tax investigation. Yeah. You'll open yourself up to a tax investigation. So you have to know that our figures match the club's figures.
Sure.
So before the payment's due, my financial advisor will get in touch with the finance department at West Brom and say, hi, we've done all the figures for Ben's bonus schedule. We know that he's entitled to this amount of money. Does that tally up to what you've got for him? And if it's off, they'll work out where they've gone wrong and they'll eventually get...
Baggies were always good with that, weren't they?
Baggies were brilliant.
Okay. One thing now I want to talk about is the player termination of contracts.
Oh, okay.
So in here, it's basically, like, for the club side, if you go out and murder someone, you're going to get sacked.
Their protection on their side,
yeah,
basically.
Obviously, yeah. Something like that. But it works both ways as well. So it's been in the news this week, Wigan, for example.
Yeah, but can I just say on this as well, quickly, this, like, when things like this happen, it would be nice to know that other football fans, especially Championship fans, would sort of rally behind Wigan a little bit here and don't take it as an opportunity to sort of gloat and sort of laugh at teams being in the mud and all that kind of stuff, because it's not a nice thing.
No.
It isn't. It's obviously the club are struggling financially. I don't know the ins and outs of it as to why they might have... The owners might not be doing it properly, or they might have made bad investments, or whatever it is. Like, but either way, it's the fans and it's the players that will get hurt by this
and
most.
And it's just the staff at the club as
exactly
well, isn't
that,
it?
Yeah.
You know, might have players that are doing, even at, you know, bottom of the champo level, there'll be players earning good money
for
sure,
but
there's staff there that it's their livelihood.
Mate, staff are living week to week, they're living month to month, honestly, so this will hit them really hard, and it's a massive worry and it's a big stress. And like I say, for that's just the player and the staff, but when you look at the fan side of it as well, they've just been deducted 3 points. They're almost certainly facing relegation now. It's not a nice place to be.
No, it's sad.
It's really
sad.
Not
and
a nice
I think
place
the football community are good like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd like
it,
to
it's
think
a bit
so,
of banter,
yeah.
And you know, we beat the week, that's one thing,
yeah, but
when it becomes to livelihoods, I think
exactly,
the football
yeah, especially
community
someone like
are
Wigan,
great.
Who, you know, in their recent history have been a good club, yeah.
Yeah, so with that though, there's like a if you're not paid by a club, you can serve them notice basically after 14 days.
Is this
days.
What it says basically?
Yeah,
then?
It says that if you're not paid, we don't pay you.
What does the actual clause say?
If remuneration is not paid within 14 days of being due, i.e. on payday, you can look to null and void, terminate your contract.
Terminate your contract.
Yeah. Now, it's not that easy, I'm sure, but yeah, that's the crux of it. Have you ever known anything like that?
No, this is a little bit of a fragile one though, because if, say for example, I was at West Brom and they were in financial troubles and we were fighting relegation and then they didn't pay us for 2 weeks. If I then went and said, right, you haven't paid me for 2 weeks, I'm well within my rights to terminate my contract, I will not be turning up tomorrow and I won't be playing for you at the weekend, yeah? If I was a first team player, that is going to go down like the leadiest of lead balloons.
Shit sandwich.
An absolute double shit sandwich with shit on top. Honestly, it would go down so badly. It's one, very unprofessional,
yeah?
Because if I'm part of the team, I'd want to help my team out. But it's basically jumping ship. It is. It's like, I'm all right, Jack. I'll look after myself. You lot, all the best. And that is for...
But that's very different. Sorry to interrupt. That's very different because that's the club's kind of misfortune in terms of how it's run,
yeah,
or financial instability. Because people might say, there might be an argument, but you left when we were relegated.
Yeah, true.
But
that,
that's
yeah,
a very different circumstance, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, completely. It's the way the fans would view that is probably fairly similar to leaving if somebody gets relegated. But the way football works nowadays, it's I think a lot of people don't really see the behind the scenes stuff of how clubs are. I've seen the way some players have been treated in the past, and I just think, wow, you know, you don't read about this in the press. You don't. You get to see when a player hands a transfer request in, and you know, everybody makes out that they're spoiled brats and this and that, and they're just chasing the money. But I've seen the other side of it, where clubs have happily washed their hands of players and gave them no support and gone, basically, yeah, you're not wanted. Go away. Get out. You're not. We don't want to pay you anymore. So just go and find a club. Deal with it. And I've seen it happen. So it works both ways. It really, really does. But I understand fans' fury, because fans have an emotional investment with football clubs. They do. That's what they pay their money for. They go support them. They buy the merchandise, the shirts. They have an emotional investment. So when a player does something that wrongs a football club, it hurts their heart a little bit. So I can understand why they might vent. Obviously, the lengths they go to vent sometimes are probably a little bit overboard, but that's football. That's what gets us talking every week.
It is. It is. Okay. And then there's a couple more things. I think we've covered most things off, Ben.
It's a good. It's a decent contract talk, though, isn't it? Like, West Brom contract is completely different to a Man United contract. Yep. It is fully based around survival. If you play the games and you perform and you survive, you'll get looked after. But you've got to imagine teams like West Brom would have had about 14 players that would pretty much start most of the time. It would be a revolving 14 players, yeah? They haven't got the squad depth of a Man United to play 20-odd players each season and rotate them around and all that. We would have 14 first-team players that would start most of the time, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And then the other provisions that I wanted to talk about is little things, but people are interested to know. Player agrees to have £200 a month deducted from their salary for breakfast and lunch.
Oh, yeah. In the canteen. You pay that all day long. Mate, the food at West Brom was wicked as well. Well, honestly, the food was so good at West Brom. I loved it. £200 a month is absolute peanuts.
We used and to I take would, the foam.
Yeah, I would get breakfast every day and I would either eat in the canteen afterwards because the food was great, or if I was in a rush, I would just get them to put it in a little plastic pot and I would have it for lunch on the way home or whatever. And then sometimes if I knew I had nothing in at home or whatever, they would pop me a couple up for night so I could eat them for dinner as well. And if it was something really nice on, I'd go, do me like four or five pots, would you?
So you're taking the piss. You should be paying 400.
Genuinely, I would be like, so I can feed the family or something tonight. I ain't got to worry about cooking. I can just stick it in the microwave and warm it up.
You need to feed the family. You're only on 40 bags a week. You need to take some for the family, mate.
£200. No, but it's time, isn't it, man? I'm a busy man, right? I'm ferreting around. But £200 a month is, I would say, more than reasonable.
Yeah.
More than reasonable.
Absolutely. That's like massively subsidised. Right. Players and immediate family have access to the club doctors at all times for £75 a month. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's really, really good. On call, 24 hours. Yeah,
that's a lovely peace of mind.
Yeah, it is. That is exactly that. It's really good peace of mind is knowing that if anything kicked off, if somebody suddenly fell ill, is not only can you ring a doctor and they can tell you what best to do or what ointment to take or pills or whatever, but also if you say if somebody got that, my dad needs a scan on his shoulder, where can I get a scan from? They can go, right, we can give you a referral for this,
yeah,
you can
sure.
take him there. So it does, it covers everything off. That's one thing, actually, funnily enough, that I've kind of had to, when you stop playing football, you don't have access to that kind of stuff. So when I've spent the last part of 20 years having access to all of that kind of stuff, masseurs, physios, doctors, suddenly you stop playing football. And if I hurt my arm or shoulder or wrist or I feel ill or something, I'm like, I'm going to have to go to the doctors. So I've had to
I've
had to register at the doctors or stuff. Something like that. Suck it up. You talk to me. I don't get ill, all right? I am the least ill man in the world.
That's very true. One more on here. Well, two more on here. Player, this is interesting this was in your contract. Player agrees to live within a 40-mile radius of the training ground.
Ooh, I would have been touch and go on that.
Would you?
I would have been real touch and go. I was about the limit. I was about 40 miles.
So what they're basically saying, 40 miles is within an hour's drive-ish.
Yeah, within an hour's drive. There were players that definitely did not live within an hour. There were players that were living Manchester.
Doors?
I'm not naming names, but there were players that were living in Manchester and they were driving down every day down to Walsall where the training ground was.
I heard a story, and I'm not expecting you to name names, of a player having one of those like Viano cars.
Yeah, that's a few of them.
Sleeping.
Yeah.
Quilt. Pillows, yes. Having it flat and literally having it as another 2 or 3 hours.
Mate, there's been, I know for a fact there's loads of players that have done that who quite literally will get, they'll pack a bag the night before training. The car will come and pick them up at 6:30 in the morning or whatever. They will go straight into the back of the van, yeah, with this bag in their shorts and pajamas or whatever. Have it, go straight back to sleep for an hour, straight back to sleep, get it out of the training ground. They've got all their clothes in the bag and go and have a shower, go and get changed into their kit and stuff like that. Fresh as a daisy, good to go. That's what they would do.
That's madness.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's good.
It is good, but in the world with sports science and stuff, some may argue that, is that good preparation?
Definitely not. God, no.
Thought you were going to jump to their defence.
Even this, though, this is the sort of thing that, you know, unless you can sort of catch people red-handed doing it, then they're not going to do anything about it. And like I say, ultimately, as long as players aren't getting injured and they're doing a job and they're professional, they're on time, people, football clubs, for example, will kind of let you get away with it.
Okay, one final thing, should I say. Agreed. 7 hours per week for community and public relations.
Never gets done. Never gets done.
No,
Nowhere near seven hours is a good amount, actually,
but
yeah.
They will lean on certain players more than others.
Yeah, they will. So West Brom were actually very good at doing stuff in the community. Very, very good. We would
Albion Foundation.
Definitely wasn't 7 hours a week, I guarantee you that. But we would almost certainly do... We'd end up doing probably one event per 2 weeks, I'd say, where it would be you'd leave training at 1 o'clock and you would have to go to a school, a hospital, attend a night event. And that's probably where the 7 hours thing it comes, because you would be there for the rest of the day pretty much. But again, it's a case of football clubs don't want you doing too much of this sort of stuff because they don't want you on your feet. They don't want you standing around. They want you to, like they do, they want you to basically go home, get your feet up and relax. That's what they want you to do.
Okay. No, that is absolutely fair enough. I think we're good, mate.
That was banging, wasn't it?
I enjoyed that.
And it's amazing how we came up with this idea this morning.
No, we didn't. We're much more prepared than that.
We're not. We came up with this idea this morning. Should we do another contract? Yeah, I've got some contracts at home. Yeah. Just want to say a massive shout out to everybody connected to West Bromwich Albion Football Club. The players, the fans, the staff. Incredible. You'll always have a special place in my heart. Up the Fozcast.
Thanks everybody for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.